It's Saturday morning, time for Green Country Gardener on K1 AM 1400 and 93.3 FM. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peter's True Value, American Heritage Bank, Bartlesville, Pahuska, Barnsdall, and the Osage Region, Enterprise Sod Store, and Overlee's Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. AM 1400, and this is Green Country Gardener Larry Glass over to get the microphone, ready to answer your questions, give you plenty of good garden advice, and make sure if it's green where it's supposed to be green, brown where it's supposed to be brown because you mulched it, and all kinds of colors all around the garden from all your flowers.
Mulched or you forgot to water it.
I said brown where it's supposed to be brown, so I was trying to avoid the brown where it's supposed to be green. You know.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people come into the nursery asking for annuals. Well, it's a little bit early. And then I say, well, do you have your soil ready?
Then I get it's sitting out there in the yard. It's the same place I left it.
Then I get this deer in the headlight look. Oh, you got to do that? That's probably the most important thing you can do right now for your annuals and your perennial plantings and your vegetable plantings is get the soil ready.
Okay. How do you do that?
Well, there are you just turn it over. If your soil is pretty good, just turn it over and get it kind of loose. And the more you loosen it like that, the better the roots will exploit the space. And if you turn it over and it just kind of goes clunk, you know, soil has a tendency to do that.
Yeah, because
if you ever need ballast for a ship, Bartlesville soil is the best.
It's clay and rocks. What else are we supposed to have in there?
Yeah, exactly. You need to add some stuff. And we have a compost, whole new truckload of brand new compost. Man, when they open that truck, it smells so good. That's in right now. We sell a ton of that stuff. And we have some Happy Frog, too. And actually, I've been doing some price research on Happy Frog. Mm-hmm. And we've got probably one of the better prices on it, too.
So, all right.
So anyway, it's a pretty good deal. We get a pretty good deal on it, so we kind of pass that on. I know some of our competitors in Tulsa, they have the same stuff, and it's more. And I go, why do they charge so much?
People pay it. That's why they charge so much.
So anyway, at the nursery, we've got that. We got herbs. Of course, I have Happy Frog. Some new flowering trees. Beginning to get some lavender plants, and the perennials are starting to get ready for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Those are coming up. The annuals are starting to arrive, and they're starting to move, too. So we've got, of course, our geraniums. We started in October.
Yes.
And they're ready. They're big, fluffy, and full of flowers right now.
Well, that's best because you grow your own.
Of course, yeah. We tried to augment our supply by getting it from an outside supplier. We send it back.
Yeah.
They didn't meet our standards. They're nice-looking plants, but they just weren't good enough.
Okay.
So we've got to take them back. I don't want them. It's a little early to plant annuals yet. Tomatoes, it's a little bit too early to plant your tomatoes. We do have some tomatoes, when the stems are starting to turn purple, like they do, they can't take up potassium when it's cold. And they turn purple, indicating it looks like a potassium deficiency, but really it's just the temperature. They just can't take it up. So that's kind of one reason why you want to wait a little bit later to plant your tomatoes.
But you could still start them in the house if you want to start from seeds.
Sure. Yeah, tomatoes, you start them inside about March the 22nd or so. I've got this guy named Clyde. He came by the nursery.
Cool.
Heck of a nice man.
Yeah.
And he brought this device, and we're giving three away here at the nursery, on the radio station today. It's a garden planner.
Okay.
And it's a very handy little
analog device, right?
It is an analog device. It doesn't take an i7 processor to run it, or you don't have to download an app or anything. It's just right here. And you can have it in the garage or out in the shed or something. And it kind of shows you when to plant things and how often to plant them, how far apart to plant them, and it's just full of information. And if you're familiar with the way a slide rule works, it's a bit like that. No, it doesn't take a degree in engineering to run this thing.
No.
But it works a bit like a slide rule.
Okay.
In other words, you slide this little part in and out like this to adjust your start time. And it shows you when you can plant it and when the average frost date is. And And when you can, first outdoor planting times too for some things. And interestingly enough, though, it has tomatoes here. The best time to plant them is about the 17th of May, or the 10th of May, actually, about the 10th of May.
Okay.
Because typically that's when our soil temperatures are warm enough. And that's when they don't turn purple when it's cold, because they can take up the potassium. So it's kind of an interesting little thing. We're giving three away to some lucky callers today.
Okay.
And you can get them online for $6.
Or you can get them free here.
Shipping and handling, or you get them free on the radio here. So, or you come by the nursery. We're giving away to our customers.
Oh, okay.
So anyway.
So what's going on at the nursery that they might want to stop by and see?
tomatoes. We have some strawberry plants.
Okay.
And all kinds of shrubs are coming in.
Now, strawberries would be okay to get in the ground now, wouldn't they? Or would
sure.
They? Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be all right. Some of them have little strawberries on them, too. So mm-hmm. I kind of kid people when it has a strawberry. Well, that one's $5 more because it's got a piece of fruit on it. And they just kind of laugh, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so... But the strawberries are
you can nibble while you work that way.
Exactly. But we also have... seeds. We have some unusual flower seeds, birdhouse gourds, some vine seeds, and so on and so on. So we've got basically the whole gamut at this point right now.
Okay.
Is what we have. It's a little too late, though. If we want to start with the lawn,
mm-hmm.
a bit too late to put down fescue seed.
Right.
So it should have been done about a month ago, and if you waited tonight, you kind of missed the window on it. Another thing in your lawn is that the crabgrass is starting to grow. There's a little bit of it coming up. If you've got a warm spot, say on the south side or closer to the driveway where it's just incrementally warmer mm-hmm. than it has been, the crabgrass is starting to grow. So get that crabgrass control down. I know I looked at mine. Oh, no, there's crabgrass. Oh, usually you wait till the lilacs are in bloom. And they're in bloom right now. And that's typically when you put down crabgrass control.
Mm-hmm.
But the weather's been a little bit unusual this year. So it's come up a bit early. It was, 29 degrees last night? It's 29 degrees right now, according to your thermometer over there.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the long-range forecast, and at least between now and the next 10 days, there's no more freezy weather coming on.
Yeah, should be good.
So this should be good for your crabgrass. So if you haven't done that, you want to do that real soon, get that crabgrass control down.
Okay. Is that just a granular application? Or?
Yep. Put it in your spreader, and I got my spreader out, and it broke.
It's good for you.
Only 10 years old. Handle broke on it.
Well, go down to Green Thumb. They got some great stuff.
Well, we don't have any spreaders, but I do have duct tape at home. I got fixed it. I got my crabgrass control down. So anyway, I got to find me another spreader. We've got a big old rental spreader at the nursery. So if you buy some fertilizer, you can take it home and then hopefully it'll bring it back.
Particularly now that you can get duct tape in various colors, you can do anything with duct tape. So.
Well, sure, yeah. Yeah, we even keep a roll of it in the truck in case I cut my finger, so it works pretty well. But anyway, so it's getting a little late for that. It's just a tiny bit early to really put on your nitrogen applications on your Bermuda grass. It is the 2nd of April.
Yes.
And the 10-day forecast has really no frost in it. But that still doesn't carry up to the 15th. We could have a cold front come through. It could get cold. So I wouldn't encourage a lot of growth yet on the Bermuda grass.
Okay.
Mold control, though, you might want to consider that. I know the whole little parkway in front, those little narrow strips that some people really like to put in, which are crazy. They ought to just have the sidewalk right on the curb. It's just the whole turf is lifted up from molds at my house. It's just horrible.
Really?
Yeah, I need to go rent a roller or something to smash it all down again.
Okay.
And get me a cat out there or something on a little leash to get rid of those moles. I don't know what. But we do have, at the nursery, we do have some mold control stuff that is supposed to work. And I'm going to kind of experiment with some of that just to see how well it works.
Okay.
But it's they're a mess this year. And I think they're only going to be worse this year than they were last year.
Is there a particular reason that you can point to why they're worse this year as far as either weather or...
I think, and the problem has been getting progressively worse ever since they stopped selling Dursban and Daznon. Those mm-hmm. are the two big controllers we had for grub worms. And the population of moles has just increased because their food supply is increased.
Okay. More food, more opportunity for them to survive.
Exactly. So there's more stuff for them to live on. But anyway, they're a real bad problem. So you try some of the remedies and see if they work. But I don't know. We'll get it figured out someday.
Okay. Well,
we have a caller?
We do have a caller, and we'll say good morning. You are first up on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you this morning?
I was wondering, you were talking about moles. I've got the front yard looks like a garden. And I was wondering if you said in that mole bait or whatever it is, is it harmful to animals?
Yes, it is.
Well, you couldn't put it down if you have cats or dogs, huh?
Well, typically the mole bait, you bury it in the ground. You find their main track, and then you put it. You get a pencil and put a hole in there and put the worm down in there and cover it back up. The smell of it isn't overly attractive to animals, but if you do have some that are diggers and like to eat bugs and stuff, you might consider a different method of getting rid of the moles.
Oh, okay.
But we do have a granular material that has a good tendency to repel moles pretty well, and give that a shot. But they're kind of a real pest, and they're getting difficult to control.
Oh, yes, they're bad. And I was just wondering, I've got cats and dogs, and I'm just wondering if it's hurt them.
The bait worms will hurt them. The mole trap, the one that springs down and kills the little pest that way, they can, if they're curious, they'll probably get in there and snap, ow, you know. So it might cause some problems with the animals there, but we do have a granular material that's safe to use. It's actually a repellent. It doesn't really kill them. And it might be effective on the moles.
Okay, thank you.
What was your first name?
Sue.
Okay, Sue, thank you for calling.
Appreciate that call. Moles, you've over the years suggested this and that, but you've always said they are tough to get rid of, regardless
well,
of...
Well, they're mammals, and they move around, and they're not susceptible to the insects that are available out there, and because they are mammals, anything you kill them is potentially harmful to us.
Mm-hmm.
So you could get rid of their food source, but we do have some alternative insecticides you can put on the ground to control the subterranean insects.
That
might be your best choice, but they're a problem. But anyway, back to the lawns.
Yes.
It's still not too late to dethatch that Bermuda grass. I did mine a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
I got an actual, we talked about it on the radio. I got an actual dethatching attachment for the mower,
mm-hmm.
and it worked very well.
Good.
So, and the Bermuda grass is starting to come up, but I do have some weeds. We have the weed killers for your lawn too. So that's kind of what you're doing in the lawn right now. A little bit of dethatching. If you have fescue grass, some fertilizing would mm-hmm. really help it along right now. And it's really, really actively growing right now at this point. So you want to go ahead and feed it real well. We have the Southern Green Maker fertilizer, which is very effective on it without excessive growth. You get the good emerald green color without having to, you know, harvest it and bale it up every week.
Good morning, caller. You are next up on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you today?
I have a question. Larry, did you say that maybe 10th to plant tomatoes?
This what to plant tomatoes?
No, this is too early to plant your tomatoes.
Until the soil gets warm.
All right. I have a friend that puts out a big vegetable garden, and he was, since it was 70 degrees this next week, he was going to put out his tomato plants, so I'll tell him to hold off.
Well, 70 degrees is the atmospheric temperature, but the soil temperature is a little bit cool, and his plants, they're just kind of sitting there. They might turn a little bit purple if the ground is too cool, and in fact they will, because they can't take up potassium, and they'll look funny for a while, but they'll snap out of it.
I will tell him to hold off for a while.
Okay, and your first name again?
Jim.
Okay, Jim. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Dan, thank you very much. And it's not harmful to tomatoes, if I think I hear what you're saying correctly. It's just like, why put them down right now? They won't do much.
If we have continued cool weather and it gets real rainy and kind of cloudy, you could get some rot problems on them, too, because they are a warm season plant.
Yeah.
And so they will have a tendency to get a little bit weak. If you do have some tomato plants, you might keep them watered somewhere on the patio or something just to keep them going for a while. Even put them in bigger containers and let them grow up a bit on those big containers. And put them on a cart so you can wheel them in the garage and
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of a thing.
It's that soil temperature 4 inches down or whatever that makes the difference.
There'll be plenty of tomatoes out there to sell, to buy later on.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just can't wait. So we get the tomatoes. They figure they can put hot caps on it, and they'll be fine.
Right.
And that works a lot of times. But the important factor is the soil temperature on your tomatoes.
Okay.
And the atmospheric temperature. If it's 29 degrees, it'll turn them into tomato paste, you know.
Yeah. Which is good if you're making sauce. But
I guess so.
Yeah.
But green tomato paste?
Yeah, no, don't think so.
Okay.
918-336-1400, 1-800-749-5936. Your calls on Green Country Gardener coming up in just a bit. Brent Walker's in from United Rentals, and Brent, I think you're still continuing a weekend special, right?
Yeah, we are. You come in and pick up the equipment after 1 o'clock on Friday. We'll let you rent it over the weekend for the one-day rate, bring it back Monday morning by 8 o'clock.
So really, you get 2.5 or 3 days for the price of one.
Yeah, that's correct. You get 2 days to use your machine, and it helps out a lot of people, and for the homeowners, that's probably the best deal we got.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Knowwater Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new inventory arriving weekly. Stop by and check out their new shipment of perennials, trees, shrubs, herbs, and more. Now's the time to apply pre-emergent to your lawn and garden to help control those pesky weeds. Prepare your garden now by stopping by Green Thumb, where they have everything you need to prepare your soil, including organic options from Happy Frog. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Nowetta Road, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5.
Finding a new home is hard enough, so financing one should be easy. At American Heritage Bank, we believe buying a home should be a smooth, enjoyable experience. Whether you're thinking of buying your first home, looking to upgrade to the home of your dreams, or wanting to refinance your existing home, we have a solution that's right for you. Visit us online at ahb-ok.com today. American Heritage Bank, simply better lending. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, 918-336-1400, or 1-800-749-5936. Numbers to get you on the air this morning for this edition of Green Country Gardener, and Larry's playing with his plant slide rule here somehow.
Anyway, right now it says we can put out carrots, broccoli, leaf lettuce, carrots, and chard right now at this point. And companion plants to the chard are beets and lettuce and radishes, and carrots have companion plants. Peas or radishes, lettuce, onions, and tomatoes are companion plants to carrots. And leaf lettuce has onions and carrots and bush beans, peas, spinach, and radishes too for your leaf lettuce. Those are companion plants. Companion plants are those plants that they're natural companions, and they just get along real well.
Do they also, does that figure in as far as complementary plants that might help as natural insecticide for some of the other pests?
Yeah, to a point. It'll draw some of the insects away from them. And with tomatoes, if you plant some carrots around them, and cucumbers and onions and peas, they tend to go along with it real well, too. So.
Okay.
But anyway, that's kind of fun. And peppers like, let's see here, bush beans and carrots and onions and okra. And your melon plants like sweet corn and okra too. So sweet corn, it's first planting is a little ways away yet on that. Probably the last part of April. So this thing is it's kind of fun. And on the other side, it has last frost date. When you can plant stuff, and our last frost date, typically is around Halloween, and it shows you when you can plant things. In other words, you can plant tomatoes all the way until, where's the tomatoes here? Here we go. Last planting, the end of June and July is when you can last plant them. So the suckers you pull off your tomatoes, you can pop in the mud and they'll root in. Then you'll have all the way from September to frost with tomatoes if you plant them in latter part of June, first part of July. So that's kind of cool.
That's a neat little device.
Uh-huh. And sweet corn, you can plant it as late as July the 12th, and it starts getting ripe by the 20th of September, so depending on the weather and so on. So it's an interesting thing here, and I think people like it. So anyway,
all right.
Other things going on, landscaping, a lot of people are kind of interested in that. getting that done. And I've got more landscape plans on the drawing board than ever.
I'll bet you do.
Trying to do that and trying to kick these things in the ground, too. It keeps me very busy.
Well, it's nice to have the professionally designed lawn landscape plan. You present it to us as a complete item. Here's what you should do if you want to have it looking this way.
Right.
And then you can also divide it up into phases for me. You can do this year, this, you think next year, if budgeting is a problem.
Sure.
And ask, you ask all the right questions. How much do you want to work in the garden? And
all that stuff too, yeah. I emailed out a plan this morning, in fact, before I left for the house for the to come here to the radio show. I emailed out a landscape plan so we can communicate online that way too. And that way I don't have to print it. We don't have to meet for an appointment and all this other falderall.
Mm-hmm.
I can just email it to you. And it's kind of fun getting something cool in an email like that.
Well, yeah.
So it's kind of a good presentation, too. And there's an update to my software that's available now. So you think it looks good now. Wait until this comes on. But anyway, that's kind of fun, too. So landscaping planning is going around right now. Installation, we're a little slow. We're kind of tied up on a big project right now. But we'll be getting to a lot of the residential installations here pretty soon.
Yeah, well, if you're tied up on a big commercial job, move your manpower around so that you're not working at my house or your house or someplace else.
Yeah, they always go over time and over budget, so it's what's happened. So anyway, they say, well, why don't you just hire more people? Well, it gets a dilution of quality when that happens a lot of times, and I don't want that to happen. I would rather say I just simply can't be out there, rather than the compromise, the quality and of the installation.
Sure.
We have a caller.
We have a call. Good morning, caller. You are next up on the air with Larry Glass. Go ahead, please.
I was trying to turn that radio off.
No. Okay. Well, we'll give you a moment or so to turn your radio off.
Sounds like Invaders from Mars. Yes.
I've got it up. Yeah.
Okay.
My clematis have got buds on them like they're going to open.
Yes.
Or is it time to put down some seed?
No, some fertilizer.
Yes.
Well, sure, yeah. Use it sparingly at this point in time because it might cause the flowers to get some ruffled and browned edges.
Use what?
Use it sparingly.
Sparingly.
Yeah, at this point in time, you might want to go with an organic type fertilizer that won't have a tendency to burn your plants. Or just wait really until after they're in bloom to do that.
After they're in bloom, and then put it on.
Yeah.
Well, I think I got, is it bone meal that you put down for that? Or
bone meal will work, but it takes a few months for the bone meal to really become effective. It has to be metabolized by fauna in the soil, flora and fauna.
Yeah.
So it won't really be available for a while yet.
But there are some other things that she can do for her.
Yeah, you could use something like Miracle-Gro, which will give them some immediate fertilization like that. But you might want to follow up with a granular type fertilization a little bit later on.
Okay.
But if there's blooming and they're starting to show some blooms, that means they're really healthy and the soil is probably pretty good around them. So I wouldn't be overly concerned about fertilizing at this point if they're really showing that much vigor and growth.
Okay.
Sometimes if you add too much, it tends to burn the plants. And
I did not trim them back this year, and they really are full and pretty. And I don't really think it's because I've done anything particular.
Well,
sometimes I'll thrive on neglect for a year or two.
You stole the words right out of my mouth, Charlie. But yeah, they will thrive on neglect. But trimming them, the only reason why you want to trim back your clematis is just the appearance of the plant. They too do tend to get kind of bunchy and kind of busy looking, and that's why we trim them back. But
I have trimmed them back, but I don't think I did anything to them last year.
Well, you probably did right, because there's not a lot you really have to do to them, actually.
Yeah, and I throw my banana peels down.
I'm going to say, I know my wife and my wife's grandmother are both, you get the health benefits of eating the banana and then put the peel on the clematis plant, and it works pretty well.
Yeah. I throw my banana peels in almost all of my plants.
Yeah.
And Larry, I have heard coffee grounds work, too.
Coffee grounds work too. They have some elements that plants really like, and they do have the pH a little bit, but they're fine. Some of the insects around don't like coffee grounds either. So, It's a twofold effect on that. So.
I don't drink coffee. That's my problem.
Oh, yeah.
But my mom used a lot of coffee grounds, and she had beautiful plants.
Sure.
So, okay. Well, that was my main thing I needed to know, if it was time to put something down. But I'll just wait till the blooms start opening.
Yeah, and then use, don't put a whole lot on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would use the more diluted form of Miracle-Gro rather than the standard form.
Okay. I tend to not go real strong on that stuff anyway. I've never been a big fertilizer person.
Probably one of the better things for the clematis right now maybe is a thin layer of mulch to, just to keep the soil moisture level constant. And it is kind of dry out there, Charlie.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, really. But anyway, it's getting...
What about sphagnum moss as a mulch around it?
That'll work fine, too.
Okay.
Yeah, just something to keep the soil moisture fairly constant, and I think it'll do fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Your first name?
Oh, it's Darlene.
Darlene. Okay, Darlene. Thank you for calling.
Appreciate the call, Darlene, and good luck on your clematis. Sounds like you're doing something right there, even if it's doing nothing. So 918-336-1400, 1-800-749-5936, and we will continue with your phone calls in just a moment.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod expert, Enterprise Sod Store, at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Great lawn care starts with a trip to Peters True Value in Dewey. Today, Green Thumb Annual Lawn Care Program is available for $49.99. This annual lawn care plan shows you exactly how and when to feed a better spring, summer, and fall lawn. The programs include 17-pound crabgrass preventer plus fertilizer, 16-pound premium weed and feed lawn fertilizer, 16-pound summer lawn fertilizer, and 16-pound fall fertilizer. Each bag covers 5,000 square feet. Shop today for a healthy green lawn all year long. Peter's True Value. Behind every project is a true value.
Come to Spirit Church this Sunday when Huldah Buntain will be guest speaker from 9:30 to 11. Be inspired and learn of her experiences saving an 18-month-old girl from certain doom while living in Calcutta, India. Invite all your friends to this opportunity of a lifetime at Spirit Church this Sunday from 9:30 to 11. I promise you'll truly be inspired.
918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And some of the flowering plants are waking up. Tulips so far seem to have had a pretty good show this year, Larry.
Yeah, the tulips have done pretty well this year. The ones that we planted last fall are doing really nicely.
Mm-hmm.
They don't last very long here, though. But you'll get about 1 or 2 years out of it, except for some of the varieties that persist real nicely.
I would say I've seen some that, in at least in my neighborhood, that seem to have the same crop of tulips every year. And I've got one neighbor that lives just down the street from me that theirs are always about the first ones out every year.
Right. There's the Darwin type of tulips. They repeat rather nicely.
Mm-hmm.
The gray eye tulips are a low-growing one, and they tend to repeat rather well, too. So there are several alternatives for tulips if you want some that repeat. Important thing, though, is to have pretty good soil for them to grow in. And fertilize them, actually, right now. Your tulips,
mm-hmm.
daffodils, give them some fertilizer. Yeah, the fertilizer, a bulb,
yes,
is what you want. What to put on when you plant them, you want to put it on them as they grow to help them along so they can store up enough energy to produce a bloom for next year.
Okay.
A lot of people neglect their daffodils. And, yeah, I know you go down the road and you see them blooming wild, but
mm-hmm.
so maybe they don't need a whole lot. But typically in a garden situation, we water things a little bit more, and they don't always repeat as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Makes a bit difference sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So kind of like clematis, just plant them and forget them, I guess.
918-336-1400, inviting your calls this morning for Larry.
Okay, hostas.
Yes.
Hosta is also known as plantain lily.
Okay.
And funkia, are grown mainly for their attractive foliage. you know, the leaves on
but
the
hosta. Sure.
Yeah, sure. And they come in a wide variety of textures and colors, including green and variegations and shades of green and so on. And leaf sizes, too. So there's whites and greens and yellows, and there's a leaf size variation, too. You get these big hostas, or you can get little hostas or medium hostas. But so anyway, a lot of people have them, and some people are unsuccessful with them.
Yeah.
And some people are very successful with them. And you go to the successful ones and dig up the soil around it, and it's good stuff. yeah.
And therein lies the problem, huh?
Therein lies the problem. But anyway, they're really easy to grow. They have a susceptibility to slugs. Most of them do. But we have some varieties that aren't as susceptible to slugs as others.
Okay.
And some of them are very intolerant of the heat in the summertime, in the drought specifically. The leaves tend to shred up in the summertime when when it gets hot and dry. And we have some of those also that are more resistant to that, too. So
okay.
Hostas, they're a good plant to have around. The texture is interesting on them. They give you kind of a woodsy look.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have a really nice flower to them. And they're very popular and very easy to grow.
I was trying to think of the flower. They were relatively short blooming. Seemed like they just, you know,
yeah.
2 days and they're gone.
They come up in the tube-shaped flowers, and almost like a lily.
Yeah.
And they're typically whites or blues or purple colors, lavender rather, colors. They're real light and colored. So anyway, we're always coming up with new varieties of hostas. So come check them out.
Okay.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Well.
Okay, I guess. But anyway, hostas are very important to prepare the soil before you plant them. They do like a neutral pH soil. A lot of people associate them with azaleas because they have a similar environment. But the soil requirements are different. So they...
So when can you move them?
About a month ago.
What about now?
Not totally recommended. They're actively growing right now. I wouldn't move your hostas now.
Survival of the fittest, Larry. It's just survival.
If you miss the boat and you have to do it, no sweat. Just get a lot of dirt around them. Well, Kevin's yard is like a deck of cards. Everything's moved and dug around and cut and all that.
There's lots to do out there.
I know. Tell me about it.
There is lots to do. I may have to get the mower out today again.
Yeah.
You know, I've got the prettiest purple flowers out there running across that place right now.
Yes, thank you, Kevin. I really appreciate that.
The beautiful purple flowers.
Yeah, if your wife is like mine, don't you dare cut those down.
Yeah, just set your cows on them. Makes really good.
Actually, I left the gate open. I left the gate open, and the cows were in the yard eating away out there. And I said, you know what? There's no trees for them to hurt or anything right now. They can just keep right on going.
Yeah, eat those weeds right up. Do we have a caller?
Yeah.
Well,
all right, Larry, good to talk to you.
Yes, Kevin, good to see you.
Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Larry Glass. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Has the freeze hurt our apples and our plums?
Has the freeze hurt them?
Right.
Not mine. I've got plums all over the place on my plum trees. So.
Well, I hope not, but my apple tree is still blooming, and I wondered about the freeze.
It was 29 for a very brief period this morning, so I don't think it'll really affect them that much. If it got down to 21 degrees, well, you might as well forget it, but 29 is not really that bad.
Okay, then my hostas and peonies are coming up.
Yes.
I didn't cover them, did
That's fine.
Okay.
They can take all the cold that Mother Nature has to offer this time of year.
Good,
so that wasn't that bad on them, really.
All right. And last year, my asparagus just was abundant. But this year, it's very slow to come up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Is it because of the rain and the coolness?
Probably the lack of rain. And the soil temperature seems just a bit cooler right now than normal.
Okay. What temperature do you want the soil?
They should start growing when it gets in the lower 50s or so, 48 to 50 degrees.
Okay,
and I think we're just a touch below that right now.
Okay.
I don't know. It just varies widely all over the place, the soil temperature.
Right.
So the more sun, of course, the warmer it's going to be. And if your asparagus happens to be on the north side of the house or the east side of the house, it might not come up very quickly. So.
Okay. Well, it's out on the south side, and it's in the sun all day.
Then they should be up and doing Jim Dandy right now.
Well, they're not, but I don't think I fertilized last fall.
I don't think I have to. What you want to do is dig up a cubic foot of soil in the vicinity of your asparagus, and count the grub worms that are in it.
Oh.
They could be gnawing away at the roots, so you might want to check for grubs.
Well, I have moles in the other side of the house, but I didn't see any out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that might be a reason, perhaps, why they're not doing as well.
How many grubs per square foot of ground is a problem, and how much is just they're there?
If you have a cubic foot of soil and you have, say, 3 to 5 of them, and it's not much, but you get 10 or more, that's an infestation.
Hmm.
So you probably want to do something about them. So you.
Alrighty, thank you.
And your first name is?
Judy.
Okay, Judy. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you very much. 918-336-1400. 1-800-749-5936, and we have had some phone calls this morning, but plenty of room for your phone call as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some creatures gnawing away at her plants.
Yeah. That's always nice when you put all this stuff out there that you spent good money for, and all it is dinner for some creature.
Dinner for some creature, yeah. I was actually at another house this year, and their spinach, well, this was about a month ago, and there's... And it was just simply too early, but it was real scanty. And it might have a lot to do with the lack of rain, too. But I think, to me, it looked like the whole plant system had been diminished rather significantly.
Wednesday night when the storms came through, I know Kevin got quite a bit more rain down by your house than we recorded officially at the airport. But
Yeah, I had a bucket out in the yard. It's pretty full, so I didn't measure it. But I didn't have it placed out to where it's supposed to be, but it for where it was, it did pretty good. So
good.
It had about an inch of water in it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we were talking about hostas and so on, and they're very easy to grow. Fertilizing hostas, I like to do it kind of slowly. These plants don't have the fastest metabolism in the world, so you want to kind of take it easy on the fertilizing and use either an organic or throttle back your fertilizer applications. When you do it,
Milorganite would work.
Milorganite would be a good one.
Okay,
but maybe a slight emphasis on nitrogen to encourage some more leaf growth on them.
Okay,
I think they'll do okay. And you want to be prepared to divide them about every 3 years.
Hmm.
Yeah. So they're not so clumpy. They tend to do a little better if they have some breathing room.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's kind of the story on hostas. So come by and check her out. We've got a lot of different varieties, probably 12, 14 different varieties of hostas, and they're starting to come up real nice.
Yeah, that's nice when you see a little, you can actually see what they're going to look like in your yard.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that leads us on to Tree of the Week, and that is the Flowering Crab.
Flowering Crab.
Yeah, yeah, watch out. Ouch.
Anyways, that's kind of what I was getting ready to say.
Crab apple tree.
Well, still, a little sour.
Yeah, well, crab apples are a very popular blooming tree. They're very, very easy to grow. And they seem to take all the stuff that nature has to dish out. And they still give you some blooms, and they're blooming right now. That's kind of why I wanted to mention them. They're somewhat drought tolerant, too, very durable. They're very showy and very easy in the landscape. They get 20 by 20 feet. They like it well drained in pretty good soil. And we will have some varieties. We're kind of shying away from them a little bit because they are kind of messy.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do bloom, they're really attractive. So we do have some flowering cherries right now, some weeping ones that are kind of nice too. They don't make a mess.
No.
So, but anyway, flowering, if you have a place off in the distance somewhere where you might want some spring color, you might consider a flowering crabapple tree.
Okay.
They are essentially a fruit tree. That doesn't mean you have to treat them like a fruit tree, but you can expect all the problems that fruit trees have.
Yeah.
So they can tend to get borers and black spot and all this other stuff. But there's a variety of crab apple called Prairie Fire, which is rather attractive, actually.
Okay.
It makes a good plant when it's not in bloom. And it's kind of a nice one, too. And there's some purple-leaved ones that are coming on, too. So the breeders are having fun with these plants, so anticipate a bit more variety as far as the appearance of the crab apples are concerned also. But right now, if you have crab apples, just enjoy the flowers. and keep an eye on the leaves. I've got a feeling we're going to have a problem with cedar apple rust this year.
Oh, okay.
I've already seen some people bring in some plants with that problem. And you look on the cedar trees, there's some cedar apple rust starting to form on the cedar trees, too.
When you see some symptoms of something like that, then can you treat it, or are you in plant trouble when you get that?
It's just everywhere, and it just causes a good case of the uglies, and they will defoliate significantly from a good case of cedar apple rust.
Okay.
So you might want to, Daconil might be a good fungal application, but it's just a control. You're still going to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just something that comes along with apples and crab apples and stuff like that. It's a cedar apple. I don't have any problems with my plum trees or my cherries. They don't seem to get it.
Okay.
But I do get a leaf fungus on my cherry trees in late summer. But it's not as bad as cedar apple rust. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're pretty plant, but I'd keep them away from the house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
If you've got property out in the country or something, they do pretty well. Or in the town, if you want a backdrop plant, they're just so easy to grow. The colors, I really like the pink ones. They show up real well in the landscaping. The red ones, the flowers on the red ones, they show up pretty well from a distance, but up close, it's kind of hard to see around the leaves. Yeah. So the lighter colored ones work very well too. So.
918-336-1400. Your calls coming up in just a moment.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new inventory arriving weekly. Stop by and check out their new shipment of perennials, trees, shrubs, herbs, and more. Now's the time to apply pre-emergent to your lawn and garden to help control those pesky weeds. Prepare your garden now by stopping by Green Thumb, where they have everything you need to prepare your soil, including organic options from Happy Frog. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Noetta Road, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5.
The new and upgraded PowerStar tractors from New Holland and Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville offers you the very best in ergonomics, visibility, and efficiency. The VisionView cab provides industry-leading visibility and convenience with two wide-opening doors, a flat deck platform, a 10-vent climate system, the Commandeer console, the left-hand power shuttle lever, and more. In short, PowerStar comfort is extra large, but the operating costs are extra small. The precise fueling of the Common Rail fuel injection system and their Tier 4B engines make them ultra-efficient, and the industry-leading 600-hour service interval decreases your cost as well. Jensen Tractor Ranch now offers PowerStar tractors in two horsepower levels, the traditional 75-horsepower model and the new, smaller 64-horsepower model. Both models are built New Holland Smart. Stop by Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville soon to learn more about PowerStar tractors.
If there's a tractor in your future, Jensen's got it. Jensen Tractor Ranch, saving prices guaranteed. Bartlesville's New Holland team.
918-336-1400 is the telephone number to call. Still about 7 minutes to go. If you have a question for Larry this morning, and I don't know this where you want to go or not. You were telling me during the break you're putting out some polymeric sand.
Polymeric sand today on our project we're doing downtown. And people say, what is that?
Well, I think the name kind of tells you it more or less. But
It's actually a blend of a polymer and sand together.
Uh-huh.
And you keep putting more on. You broom it off and blow it off with a blower a little bit. Then you put water on it. And the water goes down into this polymeric sand. And as the name implies, it's got polymers in it.
Mm-hmm.
That when they're wet, they turns into this mush. And then it sets up. And at that point, the polymers are insoluble. And it works very, very effective to hold your pavers together. And to help keep weeds out of your paving system.
Where was that stuff when I was growing up and had a long brick sidewalk out in front of the house?
It does possess a certain degree of flexibility, so it kind of moves with the pavers a little bit. But it's pretty good stuff anyway.
Okay.
That's kind of what we're going to be doing today. We have a caller?
We do. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Larry Glass. Go ahead, please.
I missed the part about what happened. To do about getting rid of your moles in your yard.
Schnauzers work real well.
Yeah, I don't have one of those.
We have
something that don't involve a dog.
There are several ways to control them. We have an easy one to apply. It's a granular material you put on the ground,
And do you have to dig up the ground or just put it where they've dug up the ground?
Put it on the top and water it in. And it the moles find this material rather irritating, so they have a tendency to stay away.
Mm-hmm. So you have to put it on your whole yard then if they're all over.
You would, yeah. And yeah. We also have the little poison worms. We have a few of those left over there at the nursery.
Do they hurt cats? My neighbor's cats are over here all the time. I might get rid of them.
It depends on how much of a digger the cat is.
I don't know. Okay. Do cats really dig?
Well, they do a little bit, too, once they cover their mess.
I thought they like ate birds and stuff. Well, no, they did dug for a little. But anyway, so yeah.
So I just need to come out and see what you have.
Yeah, we have a couple of them. And we have some mole traps, too, that work.
Well, I tried those one year, and I couldn't do anything with them.
And there's one little thing that's, I was looking at it yesterday, and it's solar-powered, I believe, and it makes it a rather irritating vibration.
Well, that might be an idea.
Keep them away, too, so those will work also.
Vibrate them all the way to the neighbor's yard.
Yeah, that's right. You see a big masses of moles migrating across the street, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, the only thing I haven't tried at home personally is...
what you got.
Okay. Your first name?
Jackie.
Okay. Thanks, yep. Jackie.
Thank you.
Somebody's going to be a winner here in about 3 minutes. Let's take this call. Good morning. You're on the air with Larry Glass. Go ahead. Hello.
Okay. I ask this question about every year, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But how long after the daffodils have finished blooming and...
Do you leave the leaves on top?
Yes.
Till they begin to kind of wilt and turn yellow.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And the same thing with the tulip leaves?
Yeah, same thing. It won't be very long from now. They'll turn yellow because they've been out a while, but they need that photosynthesis to occur to replenish the bulb after blooming.
Okay, after they bloom, my leaves get out of color.
Yes. They're just stretching out to the sunlight to make more carbs to pop in their bulb so they can bloom again next year.
Okay, this is what I generally do, and I know I call every year and ask.
Yeah.
Sometimes, last year my daffodils didn't bloom hardly at all.
Right.
This year, I mean, they were gorgeous, gorgeous.
Sure.
But what I do, this is probably, I shouldn't do, but I cut them back and leave them about 8 inches tall after a month.
Right.
And then I just let them die from there.
Okay. That sounds like that methodology is working rather well in your favor.
Well, since there's so much, I let them live for a month, and then when I start putting in my flower bed plants, I want them to not be so obvious. And then, so I cut them back to about 8 inches or so, and then I just let them stay in the ground until... It could be June before they ever...
The leaves might stay on a little longer if they're shortened like that, just so it can get that signal from the bulb that it's had enough, then it'll quit.
Okay, well, thank you, and I don't need anything. I've got too much already.
All right.
Thank you anyway.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you so much for the call this morning, and so we're not writing her name down, but you do have a list of names already, though. I think you're going to pick, is it three winners this morning? Is that right?
Sure. We can go with Sue, Jim, and number three, Darlene.
Okay. And they are supposed to pick up their little
garden planner. It's a really cool resource material. And it's got just tons of information on when to plant your plants and so on. So check it out. We also have them at the nursery over there, too. Speaking of the nursery, golly, we are just loaded to bear right now.
I'll bet you are.
So come on by and see what we got. We got all kinds of new trees and shrubs. Crepe myrtles are starting to leaf out.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is an exciting time of year. A lot going on.
It is.
And we have a whole truckload of compost.
Wow.
So keep your shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Larry. That's Green Country Gardener on AM 1400 K1.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville.